Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And we are back with Unspun 2025. And do we ever have a lot to talk about? Fires, Trudeau resigns. We've got Rustad wanting a recount. We've got how the premiers are responding. We have so much, George.
So much on Unspun. Yeah, we shouldn't. Happy New Year. Should we never take a break?
Did you not say when we started this podcast that there would be times where we might not even have anything to talk about?
I know.
When will that be, George?
Yeah, I know, and we're getting DM'd on Twitter or X all the time by some of our loyal fans. Come on, you guys.
Oh, you like, know. Where are you? Are you coming back? Yes, we're here. We're back. And we have a lot to talk about. But before we get to politics and the spin, well, some people are trying to make this political. The wildfires that are happening in Los Angeles. It is crazy. I can't even get your head around it, all right? It's like West Kelowna times 10.
It's
like
insane.
20, 30. Like it's...
And yeah, I was watching Anderson Cooper yesterday, like literally on that street. And the whole street's on fire, and he's dead. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Little Anderson Cooper. But yeah, and things just exploding, and you just see the aerials now of the devastation. It's crazy. I have some friends over there. They got out of their house. Their house is fine, but they got there, you know, in the hood.
Same. I've got a couple of really good friends who are there that actually don't know each other, but they live, one of my former neighbors from on my street where I live right now, they just moved down there last year, and they're son's school is burnt down and they're in Brentwood, which is next to the Pacific Palisades. Like I lived in Los Angeles for a couple of years in my 20s, and this is literally the backyard of where I lived. And it's like Georgia and Granville and the fires coming from Horseshoe Bay, Burnaby Mountain, and Ladner. And it's all coming towards you because the wind's blowing in your direction. That's how unbelievably, like, and people, you see the gridlock yesterday? Anyways, I could go on.
And no water to put it out.
Well, I look up on those North Shore mountains and I know, like, you can have infrastructure that feeds those properties. But when the power goes out and the pumps don't work and the things don't, there are risks, and I think we're going to be talking about home insurance moving forward.
Home insurance is going to go up, is what's going to happen.
All of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get it, but you have to get it in order to, it's so wild. Anyways, a bit triggered. So we should have actually started with a trigger warning for people who have but we've witnessed so much devastation here due to wildfires, right? Like, there are people across the province, across the country who watch this podcast. And for me, because I wasn't experiencing the fire damage in the heat dome, but as you well know, I was, you know, in the heart of it. That's how I got my job at Al Jazeera, as they asked me to do a live hit from basically ground zero after Lytton burnt down. And there's something about it when you've gone through it. Like, I look at it, all the Angelenos who are going to be traumatized for generations to come. It's just unbelievable how many houses were wiped out. Anyway, and it's ongoing as of 11 a.m. on Thursday, you know, January 9th. It's not over. So, you know, here's your segue, George. What is over?
Biden?
No, I was going to say Trudeau, but nice one. Dropping stuff. Justin Trudeau resigned. Yes.
I called it. I mean, I was 2 weeks late. Sorry, everybody. But I didn't. You know, I said, okay, well, it'll be after Christmas, the first week. And I think I called that. I said Christmas. I think I said that back in July, I think, or June.
It was middle of summer.
It was way back.
Yeah.
There's no coming back. We talk about this all the time when your caucus starts turning against you. And they were back then saying, oh, it's just the lower, you know, they're not important caucus members. But I'm like, man, when anybody in your caucus starts going out public, you're screwed. There's just no coming back from that. You just can't. And he should have resigned in September. He really should have. There was a federal election happening in America. We knew that. We didn't know what was going to happen. People thought that the Democrats would win again, but they didn't. And if he'd called it if he'd stepped down in September, we'd have a new leader, maybe had our election by now. And now we're facing this nightmare with Trump freaking us all out. And we don't have a leader. We don't have a party. We haven't got a parliament. We haven't got, it's crazy.
So let's get to Trump in a moment, because you did call that and the writing was very much on the wall. And then we were on hiatus when, or we, sorry, we were just going on hiatus around when Chrystia Freeland pulled her. That was our last show we did, right? If memory serves. Yeah. I've done a bunch of radio in between, and you and I talked in between. So I'm like, which one was the podcast? But I mean, if ever there was the most obvious flag or trigger, it's when your deputy prime minister, who has literally been your most loyal, like standing next to him, nodding for, you know, really, seriously, yeah. And finance minister and a very, you know, strong presence in the party, if you will. A lot of people, even when, as they were holding their nose about Trudeau, were looking to Freeland saying, well, I mean, at least we got smart there. And so, but seeing that break, like, why wasn't that just an automatic for him? What do you think was going on in the mind of the outgoing prime minister?
Well, I think the GST, was reported, she was very upset about the GST thing waving, a very desperate move on his part in the dying days of his government to try to pull a PR stunt, basically, that confuses everybody and had no value to anybody. But he thought it would be great for his political career. And she said, no, this is bad for our finances. I'm in charge of that. And it's bad politically, and it's just not going to, it's not going to do what you're doing, and you're not listening to me, so I'm out of here.
So what was his mindset, though, after that, is my question to you. It's like, how does he not exit stage left, like, almost immediately? How does he think that, you know, telling her on Friday that he's going to fire her on Wednesday? It's like, what?
Being obtuse is a key part of being successful in politics, and it works for you for a long time. You know, not keeping those barriers up, having whatever they, you know, let things go off your back, all that stuff that they say when you're really successful in politics. But when things go badly and those things are still there, then they just come off as obnoxious and out of touch. So it's the same technique, because you're just in denial, and you don't, it just happens to be people that you used to be with together now are doing what the opposition used to do to you, which you used to go, yeah, you just do that. But now suddenly it's your own people. You're still in that mode of like, well, but you're in protection mode when you're a politician. I know that. I was in protection mode for 7 years in office. I had never got out of protection mode. And so and people would ask me, how do you put up with that? How do you put up with that? And you kind of just do. And so
you're very resilient.
You just lose touch with reality when you're in politics too long. Yeah. And I think that's what happened. He lost touch with reality. It's like you hear about celebrities, right? And how they treat people. They suddenly think they're, you know, greater than God.
Different.
Yeah, no, and they're not
different.
It's like that. I think you just kind of lose touch with reality.
Well, celebrities like you and I, you know, George. No. So, okay, let's talk leaders then. Possible, you know, scenarios here. They're endless, but let's talk about the ones with the most name recognition. You know, we know that Dominic LeBlanc has taken his name out of the running for this. He's going to stay with the file that he has, which I think Canadians might largely appreciate, as we are in this sort of time of complete and utter upheaval, because everybody else seems, even the other parties to me, again, I'm terribly apolitical when it comes to this stuff. I want my government, all parties, to work together to do what's best for the country, but I'm Pollyanna. So, I mean, like, that's going to happen. But the threats south of the border, we'll get into that in a second. But who are we looking at? We're looking at Mark Carney. We're looking at Chrystia Freeland. Christy Clark, who I want to talk to you about, because I saw a post on a poll. I want to say it was on Twitter. Online somewhere.
I thought you meant on a street poll.
No.
They're like, what? What? Okay.
We're back, baby. Oh my God, that's funny. So I was walking down the street and there was a picture of Christy Clark on a poll. Polling about these names, and unbelievable. It was a Substack, actually, because there was like comments. The comments about Christy Clark were astonishing. Like, hope she's not reading the comments. You know what I'm saying?
She's a very well-trained politician. Going back to what I just said a few minutes ago.
Oh, right.
Right off her back.
Water off her back.
But, I, I, I could tell you what Christy Clark has going for her. She knows how to organize. She knows how to get stacked the vote. She know, and the federal liberals have a very loose membership program. And so you can sign up all sorts of, like, I think age 14 and up.
14 and up. Don't even have to be living here.
Don't even have to live here. So, you know, this is the game when leadership races in modern day politics. It's who signs up the most wins the game. So I wouldn't underestimate her skills on that front. And she's already been working on it for a year at least.
Right. At least
that we know of.
And she says she's a lifelong liberal, and here's that opportunity for that provincial liberal brand to dovetail with what it absolutely isn't, which is a federal liberal. Like, it's wild.
But that's the thing. I keep hearing these people talking about Christy Clark and how, you know, she always was a federal liberal. Her and her ex, they were hardcore federal liberals for years and years. So it's not, I also knew that. You know, I would say they're blue liberals or Paul Martin liberals, right? She is. But, you know, I think that's not a... But I see these pundits in Canada and in the States are talking about her as she's a conservative. I'm like, no, she actually was in Canada, a federal liberal.
She made some pretty seriously conservative moves as premier, though.
Yes, well, coalition governments, which is, you know, that we had for the BC Liberals, which was trying to keep the Conservatives and the federal Liberals together,
right,
often required leaders to go very far right in order to keep that faction happy. Obviously, that didn't work for Kevin Falcon. He didn't figure that out. So you don't want to underestimate her ability to raise money, her ability to bring votes to the table, and her understanding of how to bring people together, because she won one election, surprisingly, in 2014, and almost won again in 2017. Is that the math? I forget the math.
The dog kicking.
She's a force. Her French is probably pretty rough, but I think she's been working on that.
Right.
I would say that she can distance herself from Trudeau. That's the challenge with the other ones. Mark Carney, that'll come out of the woodwork.
But Chrystia Freeland cannot.
Yeah. Don't even bother. I would be surprised if she might just not run. Like, what? Really?
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be, I mean, how do we get everything sorted and organized and, you know, with the proroguing of Parliament, and then, you know, now we're into late March. Like, let's go to Donald Trump and the threats that are coming from him, or this, we're coming to take over Canada, and we're going to take over Greenland, and we're going to take over Panama, and we're going to, you know, what's the spin? What's unspun on Trump in your mind?
Well, I mean, Trump, you know, are these things distractions? Are they serious? Are they, you know, he was going to build a full wall across, you know, to Mexico. That never happened. You know, he's a blowhard, you know, so whatever. I would say that, I know several people who I would never have expected who've already said, I will be like Ukraine, man. Like, sign me up, like, bring it on. Like, I'm like, whoa, okay. We're going that route. So I think,
wow,
you know, yeah, there's people that normal people that are saying, no way. Like, people, Canadians don't like, we like America and we like going there.
I don't know many people that want to be Americans. No,
I really don't. I think we're very proud, but we're Canadian. So we're not proud, obnoxious proud.
Right.
And I think if this is Polia's biggest risk is Trump. This guy could screw it over for him. If the Liberals really choose a really good leader, and if the NDP had a good leader, that, you know, like a they could benefit from this. But they're, you know, if the Liberals find a good leader, and Poilievre gets too tied to Trump and this whole invasion of Canada, and it looks like he's willing to accept this as a possibility, that guy is toast.
He's toast.
He's being very careful. He's going to lose Alberta.
I love listening to MAGA try and pronounce his name. It's very funny. It's very funny. They've literally never heard it spoken. So they're doing what, you know, many of us north of the border did when he first sort of came on the scene and were poorly over there. With Donald Trump speaking his name, it won't help for him to say that, you know, he's kind of got this. Because we do have to prepare for the inevitability of a conservative government federally, do we not?
No, I never think that any no politician should think that. No, I don't think so. We have a minority government here right now with, you know, it really depends. It's all down to Quebec. And so basically the Conservatives have lost Quebec now because of this. You know, I would say that they'll go wherever they can, but they won't go Conservative.
I'm writing this down, likely. January 9th, January 9th.
Because George, I would say if America wants to invade Canada, I'm pretty sure Quebec's not going to be very happy about that.
No, I don't think so. But I find that interesting on it because you sit around how many social tables have we sat around over the last number of weeks, but, you know, through the holiday season, and people of all walks, all ages, everything were so ready to see the backside of Trudeau. For lack of a better way of putting it, like there was some saucy language. People were very like, yeah. And I was sitting at the table and like, you know what the alternative is, right? Like, are we having a conversation about what that looks like? I get it. You were done with him. I got it. But what next?
Yes, I know. It's funny it's funny that those same people, and I was never a huge Trudeau maniac kind of guy, but those same people sometimes are the ones that were, and you're like, what happened? Just because what happened? Just because the messaging is different, or he's not doing much out of that's surprising to me. He always said let the budget will figure out itself, and he won three elections on with that method. Yeah. So you know, whatever. I just think that the momentum is gone, and his you know, I don't
he's
do
he's overstayed his welcome, and you've said that for years.
In politics.
Yeah,
I did 7 years. I'm out.
You're out.
Yeah. People still hate me or love me. They don't.
We wanted you to come back in.
That's right. They do. There's an election coming.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you're a good politician, George Affleck. you are. And when we're talking about, you know, how our federal government may or may not manage what will be an economic squeeze at the very least from a Trump presidency. I mean, that's coming. Like, we all just need to buy some lentils. You know, stock up on the things that are Canadian when in season. Do you know we provide the lentils for the entire world? Like, we are the lentil capital of the world. We gotta buy Canadian goods. That's not to say we boycott American goods. I won't. I'll still be traveling to the U.S. I'm still gonna do it. I learned that lesson in going to Palm Springs on election day. You know, we ruminate about things differently than Americans do. Like, you can go down to places and be like,
yeah, I have some friends that won't go there. So, you know,
is quite true. I'm just my own personal, I don't want to come. I don't want somebody to say, you're a hypocrite. I thought you were only going to buy Canadian. Right. No, I'm going to definitely focus on purchasing locally, supporting local business, trying to like really, but I'm not boycotting America.
You're like Obama today at the funeral for Jimmy Carter. You see him sitting by Trump today at the funeral? Chatting up a storm, those two.
Oh, I didn't see them chitty chatting. I saw Mike Pence shake Donald Trump's hand, which I thought, wow, okay.
I missed that. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, first time they'd been in the same room since, you know, the whole chanting for him to die thing. Can we talk about how the premiers might be managing Trump's incoming administration? Like, how different? You know, Danielle Smith's going to his inauguration, right? She's announced, like, I'm going. And then David Eby, he had a press briefing a couple days ago now. I've lost track of my days. Doesn't matter. It's 'tis the season. But he said he would be in Washington, D.C., but not necessarily committed to the inauguration. Like, I'm.
Maybe he's going to be in Washington State. I'm going to Washington State.
I was going to head down to Tacoma, taking a show.
I'm going to buy some groceries at the Bell's Fair.
Oh, my goodness.
I think the Daniel Smith approach is really probably the smart one, to really just take the bull by the horns that they would in Alberta, you know, and ride it.
Yeehaw!
You know, I mean, get to it. Let's wait. You know, provinces, have a lot of power. And I think that's something Trump doesn't understand, by the way, you know, to come and take over Canada. Provinces actually have a lot of power, way more power than states do. Yeah. So when he talks about the structure of Canada, he doesn't understand the provincial makeup and how much power each province has.
I'd like to throw Treaty 7 into that too, by the way.
What's that?
Wouldn't mind throwing Treaty 7 into that as well, because they're more than just the things you think you know about Canada there, guys.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then the fact that Quebec has a different, you know, whole different system.
Yeah.
So, and then I thought, you know, the Doug Ford's process has been interesting. He's been, you know, that guy, I mean, he's got an election coming up, and, you know, I saw him on Fox just taking a beating in the weirdest, like, this guy was like
Jesse Waters.
He's saying, imagine the tables were turned. Like, what are you talking about? But he was all smiley, taking it all in. It was a very interesting approach. He's sort of taking a beating, smiling his way through it, which I'm trying to figure out, you know, but he's also being very clear saying, you know, and, but he's also talking about the numbers, which, I don't know. This is a diplomatic issue. It's easy to jump into this crazy talk with Trump, and that's always what he does.
Right.
And you feel tempted, or you can just, you know, okay, let's just let him do his thing, not give him any oxygen, and let's get back to reality. You know, Trudeau's, you know, impulse after he steps down is to put out the craziest tweets he's ever, you know, I loved it.
Snowball's chance in hell.
Another tweet that was similar, but not as hard. And he kept them both up. Anyways, so, you know, he wouldn't have done that if he wasn't leaving. Because generally, you just got to be diplomatic. You just kind of got to. But then, of course, voters want you to be aggressive. So I think the premiers have a great chance. It's an opportunity for them to be the crazies. And not, you know, crazy in a good way or a bad way, depending on how you feel. And the prime minister's job is to rein things in. Okay, let's get serious here. Okay, yeah. Daniel, you're Smith, you're going to be doing your border thing. You know, Doug Ford, you're doing your thing. Whatever
energy thing,
not much. Yeah. So, you know, you choose your thing. It's an opportunity, political opportunity for the provinces, but it's a diplomatic issue for the federal government.
Yeah, it's a wild one. I watched that Doug Ford on Jesse Waters, because Jesse Waters is the most unserious broadcaster going. Like, he is the definition of clickbait, and say the most outrageous possible thing that walks just as close. He literally said to Doug Ford that, you know, I'm insulted that you don't want to be American. It was just like,
yeah,
what? I would smile my way through that. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
would have been my reaction. I don't know how I would respond to it. I was kind of like, wow, this is like going on there was not the best. Move.
I know it was making me mad, actually. I saw the Netflix Jerry Springer documentary, and there's a clip. It's all about Jerry Springer and the whole rise of this crazy journalism, right?
He was
the instigator of it all. And there was a clip that I remember him apologizing for creating the monster that he created.
Yeah,
he at the time said it's just TV. But when he aged, you know, when he got older, he was like, he normalized it. Made a monster, and we have
Fox. So I want to go back to that, what you were saying about, you know, the water off the duck's back, what have you, just with our last couple of minutes here, because, I mean, we could go on and on. There's so much to talk about this week. We'll be back next Thursday. We're going to be here every Thursday. Unspunpodcast.com is where you find us. Like and subscribe. Get in the program. The way I'm coming at this next chapter of U.S. politics is to try and apply, he is a chaos maker. The goal is to create chaos. Don't get caught up in the chaos. Get caught in the substance. Protect what you can protect. Protect your neighbor. You know, act locally. I think as Canadians, we forget sometimes that we don't cast a ballot in the United States. And if we were as engaged in municipal politics as we are in U.S. politics, we could see significant change in our own neighborhoods and have impact provincially and have impact then federally. And we're so caught up, and the divisiveness is growing. I mean, there's just no question about it. It's here, it's happening, and it is growing. And around the tables over the holidays, I saw a lot of frustration and anger that I don't think any new, fresh anybody can fix. Like, that it's just, I think we're seeing an echo of what COVID did to all of us emotionally, what the financial hardships that echoed out of the pandemic and into this new political realm. If we can just keep some extra bit of calm in the chaos and try to do what you said that politicians are very good at, which is almost compartmentalizing and being like, okay, I'm just going to let that wash over me, because the 24/7 news consumer, you can back off of that and just come here and talk with George and I on Thursdays, or, you know, dip in and out of Check in on yourself, right? Because
words to live by. Words to live by. Don't let, like, some of the tweets that I was going to do. that I didn't.
Me too. Oh my God, I keep hitting cancel. I'm like, cancel. Nope. I'm like, nope.
It's true. I just feel like, no, I'm not buying into this bullshit.
Oh, not doing
like, are you waiting? Really
way to start the year, George. We got the explicit, guys.
We gotta go. We gotta go.
We do. We gotta go. You can find George on Twitter at George
_
Affleck, at George _ Affleck. On Blue Sky, you're just George Affleck.
And on Instagram and on YouTube and everywhere else.
Everywhere else. And same for me. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, on all the platforms. I'm finding myself not on Twitter as much as I used to be. I'm more a Blue Sky gal these days. I don't know. I find myself
doing
nothing.
I'm just doing this. And you have to if you want me, you got to show up to watch the show.
There we go. Okay, I might do a little more of that and some Invictus games, but I'll tell you about that next
week. Yeah, I'll talk about it next week.
Okay, see ya.
Okay, bye.